I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
The champion golfer for the year, with a score of 275, Tom Watson.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on the Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Fantastic.
Our days are off to a great start. We're all at a different level of DEFCON, yelling about the incompetence of the city council, the not-play-ball nature of the Portland Trailblazers, and our pets' heads are falling off.
Hey-ya!
But other than that, things are going great. Yeah. Other than that, our mornings are delightful today.
Somebody said, "Did you guys clown Bill Orem for bringing this up a month ago?" I wouldn't say we clown him. I just disagree with Bill. Now, we had him on. You were out.
I was not here that day, yeah.
He dropped, okay.
Do you know who I am?
Why would I do that? Like, my whole thing on this is when I've heard this since I was, I don't know, 12
it's been around
years
our
old.
Entire life. Our entire, especially since the Sonics left, it's become a thing that just does
the
not go.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
They're moving town. They're moving town. They're moving town.
Not a great answer from Silver. I still voted DEFCON 4.
You're
searched
still at
my
four.
Feelings on it. I still voted a
you
4.
You have not moved at all. No movement on your needle.
The element of the clip that he said there is, I don't think he's sitting here going, "Tom, let's move the team." I think Silver gets that. Those principled, agreed upon things that they discussed at
they'll
the beginning.
They'll sign the lease agreement.
I think Silver, like, you're signing the lease. You're the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, the reality remains if you are able to come up with an agreement of the funding package from the city side, which I think is where folks like Orem and others just have a lot of.
Well, they get a lot of people. You've
they don't have a lot
texts.
Of faith.
Oh,
I do.
Me some texts, and it's not great.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've talked to people involved in the city process and who are very in tune with this, and I am not.
Yeah.
I've talked to people, and I have gotten both ends of the spectrum. One of, like, this is a disaster. The idea of them firing the team who was in charge of, you know, deliberating with the city council was a major red flag. And I've talked to others who were like, calm down. It's going to be fine. Take a deep breath. And it's just like, well, you go back and forth. So I don't really know how to feel.
The extremes of both sides,
yes,
man.
The reality, though, remains for me, though, is if you pass the funding package, like, you're not moving. The team is not moving. They're just Silver doesn't want it.
I just don't think Silver will.
Not to mention the fact it costs hundreds of millions of dollars to move a team. And what is Tom Dundon?
Yeah, here's the one
who's
thing.
Paying for that.
So you got to remember a couple things. One, he's got somebody in ownership group that's from St. Louis.
Yeah.
So Midwest guy. St. Louis, always hungry for pro sports. The second thing is there's a percentage of ownership that's still not been settled.
Yeah.
I think the Vulcans are still technically. In
20,
it.
The last 20%,
19.7%.
Yeah.
If you're looking to get into sports, and you're a guy that wants to move a team,
so you want to buy 20% of a team and pay hundreds of millions of dollars to move the team? Maybe somebody like that exists. I don't.
I'm just saying, like, that's the only thing in my mind. But I still think this boils down to the city passing the funding and Silver saying we're not moving the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes, they don't want the team to move. They want a team in the Northwest, especially with Seattle and Vegas likely adding teams.
Maybe we have the quickest ownership group of all time, and he sells the team in 2 years. He's like, "Damn it, couldn't move it, getting out."
Rat farts. So yeah, everybody take a deep breath for now. We'll obviously continue to monitor that story.
Yeah.
Because it's not going anywhere. We do have a lot still to get to. Something, talk about controversial. Something was passed yesterday that we need to talk about because it might be actually happening. And this has been debated a long time, and it might actually be on the horizon.
Another thing debated most of my life.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that coming up later. Let's get into, though, the world of footy football. Somebody very upset with me earlier saying the Spain and France game kind of sucked. I thought that game was kind of boring. Spain was great. Well, France was terrible. Once it's 2-0, I don't have a lot of faith that France is going to score 3 goals in regulation time and win.
I thought Spain's goalkeeper was exceptional in this match. He had one moment. We were like, oh, he came out too far. The ball got past him. They couldn't capitalize. I mean, if you don't kick somebody, it's a 1-0 match.
Very true.
And that's kind of how soccer can break down sometimes. But I think the idea of France is having the 6 or 7 minutes of stoppage time.
Yeah.
I think what people would be doing is don't poo-poo it too much because that's a team that was capable of scoring pretty quickly.
I just, everybody tells me Spain's dominant defensively and nobody scores on them.
What wins championships?
Yes, defense wins championships, and I just did not have a lot of faith in that moment it would happen. But we got another one today, and I think this was the semifinal that more people were excited for because of the star players on each side. You mentioned the ticket prices earlier in the week, and joining us now is our good friend, dare I say, I'm going to go ahead and say it, longest tenured employee at Odyssey Portland. Feels like he has to take that label.
I think you're right.
I also don't really technically know what his label is. I know he's the brand manager for 94.7.
Yep.
I'm just going to call him the music brand manager because I feel like at this point he runs all music stations.
He's a good vibes guy.
He's our music man and our good vibe guy,
yeah.
Mark Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen. Mark, good morning to you. How are we feeling ahead of today's semifinal of England and Argentina?
Hey, guys. How you doing? It was a nervy night for me. I probably got up the same time as you guys. 4:30.
Not a lot of sleep last night, huh?
No. Because, look, you know, England have been in this position so many times. They won the World Cup in 66. And since then, there's been, you know, plenty of knockouts and semifinals and quarterfinals. And I really do think this time we have a really good chance. It was very interesting. You know, I just heard you talking about the France-Spain game.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked that Spain won 2-0, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I watched the game, and neither side seemed to sort of have it together. Did you feel the same way?
Yes.
The nerves, you could feel the nerves through the television.
Yeah, and you were right. You know, Spain have a fantastic defense. They've only let in one goal the whole tournament. That speaks for something. But at some point, you've also got to score goals. And they struggled in some ways throughout this tournament, whereas France were knocking them in left, right, and center. And, of course, all the attention was on Mbappe. Very good. But France could not get it together yesterday. So with Spain winning, I feel if England beat Argentina, the World Cup's coming home, mate.
Oh. We haven't gotten past Argentina yet. What are we doing right now?
Be confident, Hamilton.
Hamilton, what are you doing? You're jinxing yourself.
Go big or go home.
Not jinxing at all. I mean, let's look at it. We put the two teams on paper. First of all, let me tell you this. Argentina and England games are always really chippy.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if there's a couple of red cards in this game. Mm-hmm. You go back, Beckham sent off, I think it was 98, whatever. Way back in 66, it was the quarterfinal, Argentina's star player was sent off against England. And there's been other things, you know, the Diego Maradona hand of God goal, where it clearly punched a ball in the net with his hand. So I'm sure every Argentina fan listening will completely disagree with me, but it's clearly obvious. Of course, back in those days, they didn't have VAR and all that. So,
right.
I mean, looking at the two teams on paper, okay, we all know Lionel Messi. Great. And he's a fantastic player, no doubt about it, no question about it. England have equal up front, Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham. Midfield, Argentina have McAllister and Enzo Fernandez. England have Declan Rice and Elliot Anderson. The goalkeepers, I think, on exactly the same level. Jordan Pickford for England, Emi Martinez for Argentina. So it's going to be interesting. They're two very, very good teams and great players. That's why I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
Do people in Europe believe in jinxes, or is that an American sports fan thing that just we say to ourselves because we feel like we're getting over our skis? Like, do people in Europe feel like a jinx is real in sports?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's prevalent throughout the world, don't you?
I think so. Have you changed your underwear during the World Cup, or are we like same underwear from game one?
No, I don't go through any of that.
No.
You know, one colored laces and another colored laces.
Well, how
I do have a lucky England. I do have a lucky England hat though, which I'll be wearing all day.
Okay.
How close were you to buying a ticket to go to this match?
Not close at all.
Really?
No, because you know it's funny. I've been to a couple of World Cup games in 94 when it was out here before. I went to a couple of games. I was living in the Bay Area before I moved up here to Portland in 95. The World Cup, as you remember, was in 94. And I went to a couple of games, and it was amazing. But I prefer to kind of watch it on my own or in a bar with England fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. With the bigger games, it's nicer to be able to like take a deep breath and be on your own and not have to deal with 80,000 screaming people around you.
That's me in the Super Bowl. I'll watch it by myself like, at my house. I can't be around people.
Let me ask you this, Mark. We're talking about Mark Hamilton. We're just going to call him our music man and our good vibes man here at Odyssey Portland. We thought England's playing today. Everybody's kind of rooting for England, it seems like. They seem to be the rooting interest of the public. Where would an England World Cup title rank in your life?
Oh.
Like, where does that fall on the Mark Hamilton great things to happen to you big board?
Wow, that's a really good question, because I was like really, really young when they won in 1966.
Do you have any memory of it? Like, do you remember that at all,
no,
or just stories?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I was way too young.
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't even think I watched the game.
Yeah.
I think it's only a couple of years ago I pulled it up on YouTube and watched that 66 win. But no, this would rank very highly in some of my favorite sporting moments of all time. Some of the others, I just alluded to, I lived in the Bay Area before moving here in 95. I used to go to every Niners home game.
Oh.
Every single one. Hole C, that's where we used to all park and do our tailgating and stuff. So that was exciting to be in San Francisco from like 88 to 95.
Yeah.
What was it, two Super Bowls in that time? Three?
Yeah, two or three,
especially the one against, two or three, especially the win against the against Denver. But this would top everything for me sporting-wise. If England win the World Cup, this is going to... You probably won't see me for 2 weeks, so I'll be hung over that long.
And if they lose today to Argentina... Is it exactly the opposite? We still won't see you for 2 weeks because you'll be drinking too much? Or do you move on pretty quickly?
No, I'll just turn it off and not watch the final.
Especially if Argentina wins it. That's just going to be a
way
death
to do it, dude.
That's,
let me ask, last one for you. I got Mark. I'm just curious. I was talking with a buddy yesterday about this. We know there's a lot of famous English football players, right, over the years of Beckham and Wayne Rooney, and you go back further than that. A win for Harry Kane makes him number one for like a fan favorite? Is it still a guy like Beckham? Like, what does this do for the legacy of Harry Kane if he does it?
He'll be right up there. Probably the pinnacle of all pinnacles is England's captain in 1966, a guy by the name of Bobby Moore,
okay,
who played for West Ham and was England's captain. Sadly passed away from cancer, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. But Bobby Moore is what everyone from English football lore, as you'd say, really admire. But if England win it, Harry will be right up there with them, with him, along, probably higher than Beckham, actually.
Mm.
But there's been other great players, too, you know, like Frank Lampard and John Terry and Alan Shearer and, you know, over the years, there's been great players. But I think England have a real chance this time, especially the fact that Spain beat France. England can beat Spain on any day of the week.
Did you see the photo that was circulating? Did you see the photo that was circulating, Mark, of Beckham going crazy when England scored? And they showed his wife. She just sat there. She had zero emotion, zero celebration.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on YouTube. Beckham was freaking out. And his wife is just sitting there going like, I don't understand what's going on. What are these boys doing?
Seems like it's pretty
simple. Why are you making a fool of yourself?
Exactly.
I think it's all the Botox. Her face doesn't move anymore. Yeah. What's happening right now?
Sit down, David.
Do you like, as a music guy, do you like Wonderwall as the victory song, the sing-along? Is that the song that you would choose?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. You know, you know, the Oasis boys, you know, they're really, in the Premier League, they're really behind Manchester City. So it's kind of good that he got behind England. And I think they've changed the lyrics, so it's Wonder Ball.
Mm.
And it's on a music side, as you said, I'm a music guy. Wonder Ball, that Oasis version, is the number one streaming song in the world right now.
Really?
Last one that I got for you. So we were just talking earlier, the Blazers need arena renovation funding, and so now we have this battle a little bit between the city council and the Blazers' new owner, Tom Dundon. I've observed, as a new English Premier League fan, go Nottingham Forest, I've observed like stadiums being built in different parts for different teams. Like Nottingham Forest is going to renovate and update their stadium, which is a little dated, on the River Trent. I'm just curious, over in England, how do they handle new stadium stuff? Like, is there funding publicly? Is it entirely private? Is there ever battles between, like, blowing up a stadium, building a new one, renovating? Like, do you guys go through that stuff in England for soccer stadiums the way we seemingly do it city to city for sports?
I think it's a combination of both. It's both public funding, local funding, and then ownership funding. You got to remember, you know, you mentioned Nottingham Forest, that's owned by a very wealthy Greek owner.
Yep.
We know the American connections with Manchester United. We know the connections that Manchester City have with Saudi. I think it's Saudi. I can't remember, but there's a lot of money there, and you've also got to remember that quite a few of these English stadiums have been around since, like, you know, the 1930s and 40s. They're sort of Victorian-esque. I mean, they've been updated. And so they've sort of gone in and rebuilt some of these stadiums. I mean, for example, let's use Tottenham that played at White Hart Lane. And they changed the Tottenham Stadium is incredible. They're doing major concerts there now and NFL games. Yeah, it's kind of like everyone gets behind it. Yeah, we need a new stadium, and let's go. And thumbs up, by the way, if you're a Nottingham Forest fan, I admire you for not picking United or Chelsea or Liverpool.
You're damn right, dude. I'm not no bandwagon fan.
No Yankee fans on this show. Come on now.
Go Reds.
Only one front-running Dodger fan and Cowboy fan. That's it.
Okay, so one of you is Nottingham Forest. What's the other one?
Well, he doesn't watch. Want to be honest, Mark, my co-host doesn't watch soccer. He's pretending to watch it right now to talk to you.
You've just told me everything I know about soccer, Mark. Yeah, I just got more educated on soccer than I've ever been because of this interview, and that's why I wanted to have you on. It's names I didn't know, results I didn't know, so I appreciate the help here, man. I'm an uneducated American. I'm an ugly American when it comes to football.
Well, quite frankly, here's my tip for you.
Okay.
As somebody who's, you know, watching the games, and as, a United States citizen, you should follow Crystal Palace because of the fact that your boy Richards, who is the defender for the States, he plays for Palace, a great player, and the other thing that's cool about him, he looks like Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy.
That's how you bring football and music together right there. That's why that
I blend them all together.
That's why
all
you're
the
Mark
time.
Hamilton, man.
Oh, man.
Well, good luck today, Mark Hamilton, our music guru and our good vibes guy around the office.
We're praying for you today.
Dare
Hamilton.
I say longest are you the longest tenured employee here? Does somebody have you beat?
No, I'm actually the longest tenured employee in the whole company.
Are you seriously? From all of our markets across the country?
Yeah, I started with when it was Endicom in 1988.
Wow.
Damn, dude.
That is unbelievable.
I can't wait for us to give you a plaque that says thank you for being here for so long.
No, he's going to give him a year and a half. He'll get an Odyssey backpack.
Will
he's
he?
Gonna, he's going to get an, okay, Odyssey, an backpack Odyssey backpack out of that deal.
I still don't have one of those.
I don't either.
Good luck today, Mark. Thanks for the time this morning.
All right, cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go, Mark Hamilton. A noted Englishman who is very excited and very confident.
I'm rooting like hell
I love
for him.
The ability to not watch your team win. Like, what did he mention, a baby when they won, right? Didn't see it in 66. He's never seen them as a sports fan win a World Cup, and what's he going into the
semifinal? They've been a bridesmaid basically his whole
life. He's going in guns a-blazing. Yep. Maybe I need to take a page out of his book, this uneasy, oh, no, how are
just
we going to...
say it. Oregon's winning
we're going to win the national championship.
See, there you go.
There you go. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. You've instilled confidence in me, Mark Hamilton. A couple of football thoughts on the other side, including one league saying, hey, guys, we'll take it from here. Next on The Fam.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Thanks again to our friend Mark Hamilton for hopping on. How about longest tenured employee of the entire company? He was hired here before I was born.
Yeah.
He's been working at this company longer than I've been alive.
The only other one I could think of was Barb in the traffic department. She's been here a long time.
Now, he said he moved to Portland in what, 95?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he moved up to Portland. He's with the company. Yeah. He moved up to work. So he's been in the Portland cluster since 1995.
Yep.
Remarkable, man. Great guy. Great to see him around the office. Always puts a smile on his face. There's just something about an English accent, too. It's like when we do a college football segment, you get somebody from Georgia that's on, and it's like, all right, that sounds authentic. There's something about talking football with somebody with an English accent.
I don't know about you or anybody else out there, but when we hire new people or you're new, if I don't meet you right away, I have like a moment where I'm not like actively trying not to. I just have a moment of like, is this weird after a certain period to introduce myself?
Right. I've passed you in the hallways 20 times, but we haven't technically met yet.
Yeah. Like we have salespeople that I've met or not met really at all. Uh-huh. And like we don't talk, and it's not being anti them. It's just it's kind of awkward because we never really formally met.
We were never introduced.
When I started here, we were night dwellers.
We were. We never saw anybody.
So we didn't see a lot of people. We'd get to the building early, and we'd see people at the back end of their day.
Yeah, before they went home.
But I only talked to people that were around our cubicle area back then. Mark was not one of them, but I always saw him. I knew who he was. I knew what he was doing. And then eventually you're just there for so long that like he'd see me in the hallway and he'd go, hey, how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
I'd say hey back, but we never like stopped and
right.
shook hands.
Yeah.
This year, because I started watching Nottingham Forest in the Premier League, we were having like full-on conversations during commercial breaks about, hey, should I be worried about Leeds? What do you think about Manchester United? Explain to me why this team gets this or that team gets that. Why does my team suck? Like, I was able to establish a relationship finally after being with the company for a mere checks watch 14 years with somebody. So it's great to have him on to talk the World Cup.
How do we feel about his recommendation of me becoming a Crystal Palace fan?
I'll say this. I asked Patrick.
Is that the stadium that they filmed Ted Lasso in?
I don't know if that's the stadium.
Because I pulled up the stadium and it looks identical.
No, I think it's a lower level team's whose stadium they use. I could be wrong on that. Okay. If I'm wrong, I'll
it's got red seats, blue seats, big on one side. I'm like, that's the only soccer I know, and that looks like that stadium. But maybe I'm wrong.
Palace, so as you watch a season unfold, it's all about where your team is in the Premier League. This is only my experience. I was at the bottom. My team was in relegation battle. So guess who I ended up hating? The teams in the relegation battle.
Yeah, because you're fighting with those teams.
Crystal Palace was not a team that I ended up hating much. Mm. I actually enjoyed watching
them play. Are they kind of a middle of the ground team?
Yeah,
like
they're not good enough,
they're not bad enough, so they're just kind of in the middle?
They were in the top end of the middle.
Okay.
What I would say. If you choose Crystal Palace, you're not going to.
It is, by the way, where they filmed it.
Let's not pretend here that you're going to wake up and watch Premier League.
Oh, God,
soccer.
No, I'm not.
So why choose a team?
Well, you know, buy me a shirt. You know, maybe I'll get a Crystal Palace shirt. Did they actually play in a palace back in the day? Where does Crystal Palace come from?
I don't know what Crystal Palace.
They got
the
a cool logo.
Origin of it is their logo looks cool.
I like their colors.
That's what a listener said. He said the logo is actually awesome.
Yeah.
So now I might go buy. Look at that. Look at me. All of a sudden, I'm a footy fan over here.
I'm pretty sure Crystal Palace is one of the eight teams Patrick threw in
that you could root for.
That I could have chose
pre-approved without being considered a front runner.
And I just was attracted a little more to the all red logo of Forest.
I can't wait to one up you on this bit and talk crap about a team I'm not watching, but I'm wearing a shirt of because we finished higher than you in the tables. Suck on that, Nottingham Forest. We get the semifinal game today, England versus Argentina.
Yeah.
I have seen from multiple listeners, I'll read one comment, fan text line. As an American, I want Argentina to boat race England today. I do not want the English to come to America and win on our 250th anniversary. It's already going to be a boring final with Spain. Another one.
That's not a bad point.
What did Harley say? Harley said, I can't remember. Basically, I'll be the brave one. Screw England. I don't want England to win. It does seem like England is the sentimental favorite for people, but maybe I'm misreading
the
room.
Well, they're the favorite in Vegas. And look, I'm just saying, like, maybe outside of Americans, I guess, because those
Because I
really
do find myself
points.
Rooting for England. Of all the teams, like Spain, whatever. Argentina just won it. England hasn't won it since the 60s.
Yeah. Spain won it a long time ago.
Well, this is their first time in the final since 2010. Did I read that correctly? I don't know. Did they win it in 2010 or were they just in the final?
I think they won it in 2010.
I'll take your word for it.
Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But like, yeah, I love the English points, by the way, in the year of 250 for us, them not doing it here. I just, from a viewership standpoint and somebody that's been watching this, I have felt like for probably the last three matches, I've just, there's a look and a feel to England that's a little different. I knew they came in as one of the top eight favorites, but I think they're going to win it all.
Yeah. People pointing out, Swag, that the camera on YouTube's just you and a nanny cam, so it just Swag.
Welcome to the Swag Show.
Just hanging out in there, clicking away on his computer.
Or just talking and he's just staring at a computer.
That's fantastic. That's hilarious. We should do that more often, just Swag Nanny Cam for an entire segment and see his facial reactions when we say something really dumb. One comment, couple of footy comments I want to get to here as we do a little footy segment quickly.
Yeah.
What do we make of Flo Balogun?
Balogun.
He was on CBS yesterday, and he was asked about, you guessed it, the overturned red card.
Oh, we're still talking about that?
We're still talking about that.
Because that dictated everything that Belgium did to us.
According to Balogun, he said, I knew it was going to cause a lot of controversy. I could almost see it within my teammates. Yeah. A bit of nerves. I tried to focus the best that I could, but it was difficult with a lot of outside noise.
Then sit out. I mean, what are we doing? This is the most Kenny Atkinson, you know, analytically, we've won the series.
We're actually at 4-0.
But we're down 3-0. Like, what are we doing here? The red card made us get our asses whooped and have some of the stupidest plays in World Cup history? What are we doing? I understand the distraction. I don't think there's not nothing to it. It certainly became a talking point internationally in here. But once you start and the whistle blows and the ball is kicked,
go play the game.
You got to play hard and you got to not kick the ground. You got to kick the ball. So, like, I guess I'll give him some of, like, the distraction side of that. There is no doubt about it. The president stepping in of all the people, like, in the middle of such a
It
huge
changed
tournament.
The public narrative, but to your point, it should not affect
you
the
You got to go play the game.
Yeah, it shouldn't affect the
Were you thinking
the
about
room.
The overturned red card in the 44th minute?
Right. Become a villain. If that's what you got to do, go to that place mentally.
You had a home match.
Yeah.
So, like, I think he's being honest of, like, it impacted us. But when you go past that point of, like, you know, we didn't play, like, no, you got to get past that stuff, dude. Pro teams do this all the time. You got to go about play soccer. What are we doing?
Yeah, that is going to be yelled about, I'm sure, for days and months to come. In the middle of the summer, I saw a clip of Mad Dog Russo on ESPN today just hollering about the comments from Balogun. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't even see that he saw that or that he said that.
An excuse a little bit.
It absolutely
does. We don't want that.
I mean, we could all watch the game and acknowledge, like, they were out of it from the start. Like, they just seemed off. If the reasoning is that, you got some issues. I can see why it changes the conversation around the team. I can see why maybe some of the dynamics a little bit here and there were different. But to your point, at the end of the day, the whistle blows, you got to go play. And if you can't execute a routine pass because the president overturned a red card and one of your best players or your best player is back in the lineup, that's on you, boo.
I mean, if you're in the locker room and the red card is like impacted you guys mentally for a couple days going into the match, you need to get together and you need to get past it.
How about we man up, all right?
That's what went on in the Belgian locker room. And
that's exactly what went on, and they came out with a point to prove.
The U.S. was prepared.
No.
What would we have said?
Clearly wasn't prepared at the start for what Belgium brought.
If Jared Goff came out after one of the worst Super Bowls of anybody's lifetime and said, you know, we couldn't play well today. We're distracted by that overturned pass interference call. Couldn't get past it. Everybody was talking about
it. We shouldn't be here because that should have been pass interference. But we're here nonetheless. We just couldn't do it. We couldn't overcome it.
Yeah, you know, we just we could get past there. We kept talking about
it. We'd kill him for it. We'd absolutely
We would destroy
for
him for that. So, like, Balogun, I love you. You're going to be probably one of the best players for our team in the next go-around.
Mm-hmm.
in this country, we cannot be saying, well, we got our asses whooped by Belgium because of a red card. Yeah. You know, controversy.
I have seen the marketing campaign from one league has turned into, we'll take it from here.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what? Is anything getting taken? And what do we make of the comments? So we know that the World Cup has been awesome in America. The stadiums have been full.
Yep.
The ratings have been fantastic. Did we ever see did we talk about the final number from the USA, Belgium? Was it 40 million did they get to?
I didn't see the numbers.
I'm sure it was massive.
I thought it peaked at 50.
Did he get up all the way up to 50? It was huge, even though the game sucked.
Average was 38 or something like
that. That's a massive number, right? So like these are big time. Like people are watching. People are tuned in.
Yeah.
The MLS has come out with a, don't worry, guys, we'll take it from here. Campaign approach.
No faith in that.
Starting goalkeeper, by the way, from USA that kicked the ground is one of the goalkeepers in the MLS.
Is he?
He's that's the MLS now.
Well, no wonder we lost. We had an MLS goalie.
At least two of them are. All three of them might be.
Isn't the starting goalie that Young Wei cooed the ground? Isn't he the starting goalie for
Matt Fries? Yeah.
Who is he? Is it the Revolution or something like that?
Something like that.
Look, people pointed this out correctly, by the way.
Yeah.
They didn't start rolling out their commercials about coming back after the World Cup until after USA was eliminated.
Do we have any players on other countries? In the are there any MLS players that play for other countries other than the United States?
I don't know that answer, to be honest with you. But
no,
it's more
no
maybe some
major
smaller
countries.
Latin
well,
American
one
countries.
Of the Timbers defenders was playing for New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Sermon.
Yeah.
But so it's
like
all,
of competitive countries.
No, not in England.
No.
I mean, I've been thinking about this since we had the topic of like USA and the expectation, and are we expecting too much?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an expectation for us to ever win the World Cup. I do think you can have a reasonable expectation of look better when
our
you get to
the round standards should
of 16.
Be higher. We're not some third world country. We should have higher standards than getting boat race in the round of 16.
Yes, evaluate and see what you can change and try to improve. That's all my point would have been. I also was like, I don't know how much soccer is ever going to take ground here for people that aren't football fans when your league is not near top.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think you're ever going to be able to beat the Premier League as an example here. But, you know, people equate it to what? High double A ball?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need the Jimmies and the Joes in that sport for people to.
That's the interesting part about this.
Past
of like
what your Timbers Army is
because I went through this as a hockey guy. They won the gold medal. The ratings were really good. Because people got kind of swept first one since the Miracle on Ice. Right, it had been a long time since the United States won a gold medal. They had been close. They finally did it.
Yeah.
And that's always the conversation that comes out of this is like, what are the benefits of the sport, and are there any? Does this carry over? And I thought you saw it. The ratings in this now they're not matching, you know, the NFL or college football or even the NBA for that example. But the ratings were up across the board for the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Stanley Cup final rating was the highest they've had in a long time, and it was Vegas versus Carolina. So clearly there was a little bit of a boost of like, all right,
and that's what they
and that's
need
not for everybody, but
grow.
Can you have that in the MLS without the player recognition?
Yeah.
No.
Because that's what the NHL had.
Not in my opinion.
You had Johnny Hockey go back like, oh, I'm watching a game. Oh, there he is. Look at that. He's on ESPN tonight. And now all of these big-name guys who maybe you learn about are going back to play in Europe or Spain or like wherever.
But who were his teammates or who was his opponent in that final? It's his teammate in the NHL.
Yes, it's all NHL players, like, and they all go back and play in the NHL.
Yeah, when we do the Olympics in 28 in L.A., you know, I think France is going to win the men's basketball side of that bracket. I don't know where USA will be. We won't have the staple guys. But even if USA loses in a gold medal round against France, guess who's going to be in the association the next season?
Victor Wembanyama.
So, like, I think that's the difficult thing is the crossover isn't very real.
I just didn't know people would have soccer fever coming out of it. Like,
Timbers
hey,
fans are sitting here foaming at the mouth about
first game tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
We have a new coach.
They're in Seattle against the Sounders.
New manager.
Do we have a new manager?
Yes, there was an interim manager named.
Do we have a name?
I don't know.
Did they name a guy?
They did name a guy.
I thought that was like a wait. We're,
I thought they were doing a wait and see thing.
We got a guy, but we're not going to name the guy?
My whole point is like Timbers fans obviously are super excited to get the MLS season going.
Jack Cassidy named interim head coach.
Jack Cassidy, okay. It's a good name.
So he's an interim guy, so we don't
he's
have
been,
our guy.
He's been the head coach of Timbers 2.
Mm, okay.
But you're asking about the crossover from the World Cup. I don't think that's anything.
Well, that's their marketing campaign. We'll take it from here. The MLS does start back up tomorrow night. You can hear Timbers games right here on the Fan tomorrow night. They're up in Seattle. And so we'll see. The second semifinal today, Argentina, England, and then we'll know our World Cup final match, which will be on Sunday. One for me next on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. We've debated a lot of things on the show today. Wide receivers, top five in the NFL, who are they?
Poll questions up. Choose your wide receiver one. Jamar like Chase, it. Justin Jefferson, JSN, or Puka?
It's a tough poll question.
Pukachu.
Could go four different directions there.
Nakua.
We have debated the Blazers' next city upon leaving. Once they leave town, an arena deal is not passed. Is it going to be Nashville or Kalamazoo?
Well, so can I just scratch something out real quick to point it out because I've heard it before?
Go for it.
Nashville is obviously a destination for baseball expansion, potentially, and NBA relocation if, God forbid, the Pelicans or the Blazers are involved there, right? I don't understand what we're doing with Nashville there. Who also plays near there?
Memphis is also in Tennessee.
Adam Silver just came out about a month or so ago and said he would like the Grizzlies to play a few games a year in Nashville.
He wants them to go play, yeah.
And so if there's anybody that's going to relocate to Nashville, it's far more likely Memphis. I don't know why the NBA would put two teams right there.
Yeah, when you're trying to balance things out a little bit with more West, that's a problem that they already have when New Orleans is in your Eastern Conference and now you're moving a Western Conference team to Nashville. Like, sometimes we just don't think this stuff all the way through. Memphis moving to Nashville is a very realistic threat.
I think it's and far more realistic than Portland. Yeah.
Yes, and they would argue that it's not that. You're just moving to a different part of the state. The same fan base in Memphis can still follow them, and like, it's not moving a team across the country to a different state.
If I had to bet money on the relocation idea, it's either KC or Vancouver. Vancouver keeps you on the West Coast time zone with the addition of Seattle, so you can still do the Northwest touting thing.
Yeah,
and Kansas City.
The funny part about
has
this
the
all,
arena, and they're ready to go.
Kansas City has an arena. That's definitely viable.
They would bend
over
and give Dundon anything.
St. Louis, maybe two to get an NBA team. I don't know what their thought process would be. The funny part about all this is the idea: one, Vancouver's had an NBA team; it didn't work. Two, isn't their MLS team leaving town because they can't get funding for a stadium?
Yeah,
possibly.
Okay, so I didn't. Why is
MLB thinking about going to Montreal? I don't know.
Like, they shouldn't. It didn't work out the first time. What are we doing? Let's try
Kansas
something
City
new.
Kansas City once had an NBA team as well.
That's true. Way back. When did they move Kansas City?
Early 80s.
Early 80s when they moved? Okay.
We should put a hockey team in Arizona, I think.
What about Atlanta?
Atlanta should get another go-around.
Well before.
Let's try that one. This time around. This is the time
the
it will
Fighting Coca-Cola should
now.
Get one more chance at it.
Here we go, baby. All right, one for me. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
You excited for the Open Championship?
I am.
Yes and no.
Oh, I got a semi-yes out of
well,
you?
Well, this is my...
It's the last major of the year, buddy.
I know. It's off at 10:35 tonight.
You going to stay up and watch first tee time?
I certainly will not.
I love that they make them go... There's no staggered or shotgun or, you know, split
no.
starts.
There's no 1 and 10 tee. You
Dude,
play
the there's like 8 hours of tee times.
In order.
This is the first or second best major of the four.
And that's first? Put it ahead of Augusta?
It's the oldest. It's where golf originated. It's link style. It's the most fun.
Do I get a jacket?
The gold medal and champion golfer of the year.
The trophy is, I mean, it's top tier.
The Claret Jug is iconic.
The Claret Jug is awesome. If you win it, you're winning it in 20-mile-an-hour wind and pissing rain. Like,
possibly,
you feel so accomplished winning that tournament. The grind of golfing in that weather.
Mm-hmm. Big Lynx fan over here,
I'm a
big Lynx guy.
You tell me I'm playing a Lynx course.
You get excited?
We're swinging out of our buttholes. Are you kidding me, dude?
Let's have some fun with audio, shall we? How about emo Scotty Scheffler? He didn't make the cut last weekend at the...
No, it ended his consecutive cut. What, 2.5 years since he last missed a cut or
been
something
a long
like that?
Time he did not make the cut. Hey Scotty, what's gonna happen in a couple of years?
Can I ask you, you mentioned history, you know, we're all gonna die someday and all that kind of stuff.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's true. But
it's going to be a quote after this year. Last year's, what's the point? And this year, we're all going to die.
What are you going to do next year? You got to get even darker for 2027.
Do we like emo? We're all going to die, Scotty Scheffler? What's the point? We're all going to die.
I do love it because sometimes when my family gets like way too reactionary to something, I just jokingly go, we're all going to die. Who cares?
I tell that to myself on the golf course every time I play golf, probably 7 times.
Every time you get a bad shot, you're going to die.
You're going to die. What do you care about? Or you're standing over like a 7-foot birdie putt, like, God, I hope I make. You're going to die. Who cares?
Yeah, I didn't just cost myself $47,000 by missing a putt.
Right. Like, calm down, whatever. Francis. You're 11 over par. This birdie putt is not going to, like, you're going to die. So I do that to myself.
By the way, I saw this from Kyle Porter on July 10th, so about 5 days ago. Last time Scotty missed a cut, Alcaraz and Sinner had 0 slams. Elon did not even own Twitter yet. Not that it's been like the longest drought.
It makes it an interesting thing for him this
week. Brady was a buck.
Brady was a buck, yeah.
And that puts in perspective Tiger's consecutive cut
streak. Yeah, he has so many of those.
Like 12 years or something.
Yeah, he did miss a cut forever.
Ridiculous.
I think Scotty, to this day for me, there's a lot of great old videos you can watch in your algorithm. To this day, I actually think my favorite golf video is Scotty on the range with Tiger, marveling at the idea that he doesn't take divots. Have you seen this video?
Oh, it's great.
Tiger's striping him.
It's like, what do you mean? No, I just...
Scotty goes...
I just pick it.
You don't take divots?
Just pick the ball.
He goes, no, when I strike the ball pure, I don't take divots. He goes, did you, like, practice that? And he goes, just how it's always been. And Scotty has to look like, oh, God, you're different. Oh, my
The Lord. Only video that comes close to contention with that one, have you ever seen the Jack and Johnny Miller video from years ago? They're playing in some sort of charity thing where they're all mic'd up. This is later in their life,
yeah,
but still functioning enough to play golf. And they have like a 70-foot putt from off the green on an undulated green.
Oh, I remember.
And Johnny
video.
Miller's
yes.
standing over it like with the mic and the crowd's all listening. Like, you can't, what am I going to do here? There's nothing to do
and
here.
Jack says, get out
Jack
of the
said,
way.
Jack said, get out of the way. Watch, I'll show you what to do. And he drains it from 70 feet. One of the all-time great golf videos. Let's get to this one quickly. We can carry this over a little bit in the final hour. The Doucher has not had a great run in the major championships. And Nick Faldo said, you know what, maybe use your head here, buddy.
Bryson DeChambeau, Sir Nick, playing alongside Scotty Scheffler. 3 missed cuts in the 3 majors so far. Going for an unwanted slam of missed cuts.
Yeah.
What's going on for Bryson
the rough
in the majors?
Slam, isn't it? What are we gonna, we've got to name it.
What's happened to him in the majors? Because he's still doing it in live.
Yeah, it's classy. It's, well, that's a whole part of the story, how their superstars that live then come over and can't do it. So that's all another story. And then they go back to be superstars. He has, I'd say it to his face, he has zero clue of strategy. I mean, you don't... He said it last year, and I think on TV, I'm going to go out and attack the links. Well, I've never attacked a link. You thread it, don't you? You feed it down the fairway. It's really important. You look at humps and bumps and whatever. Mm-hmm. If I send it over and feed it, it nudges back into play. You don't think, oh, I'll just bomb it down there. Can't see where I'm going. It's 20 yards wide. Mm. Oh, yeah, good luck. Yeah. I mean, on all this... Even if you're fantastic, it lands on a corner of a divot, and you still miss the fairway. So you've got to think, how do I get it on the short grass? It is so important. And here, stand up and just keep bombing away, and they think, oh, they got, you know, get it further down. But you can be completely blocked out on a link.
It is remarkable to think about him going from where he was in the discussions we had about him a year ago to potentially, if he misses the cut, he misses the cut in all 4 majors this year.
When he doubled on 18 at the Masters to miss the cut,
yes.
I was like, oh
yelled
Lord.
At his 3D printed irons as if it's their fault.
He really might just be better off becoming a YouTube golfer.
I mean, yeah, Brando Chambly had a great line yesterday. He was like, man, he used to think of himself competing with Scotty and Rory, and now he's competing with Grant Horvat for views on a YouTube video. And it's like, what's more important to you, man?
Yeah.
This whole idea, I don't need to play on a tour, I'll just do YouTube golf in the majors.
That's what Liv does to you, dude.
Have fun, dude. Yeah. Have fun not testing your mettle and then showing up on the biggest stage and performing against the best players in the world 4 times a year only. It's ridiculous.
I really love, you can just feel the contentious nature of Faldo with Liv.
Yes, you can. I love it.
Sir Nick. Superstars over there, but they suddenly come over here, can't compete.
How cool would that be, too, to be knighted and everybody's got to call you Sir? What a badass thing.
Would you call me Sir Brandon if I somehow got knighted?
As a non-Englishman, do I have to?
If you saw Nick Faldo, would you say we have Sir Nick Faldo
your title's
in studio?
Your title.
As a non-Englishman, do I have to respect that title?
Well, dude, doctors don't walk around and say, like, you got to call me doctor.
If you see a doctor, if you saw your
doctor. My daughter's
doctor,
best friend is her dad's a doctor. I never
call never
him
call
doctor.
You never call him doctor?
No.
No.
And he's a really good doctor.
He's not your doctor.
Even if he was your doctor, I wouldn't call him. Well, maybe I would.
If you
call
saw
him
your doctor in
I'd
public.
I'd probably call him doc.
Hey, doc.
Yeah, I'd which go is doc. Probably disrespectful to the doctors.
It probably is. You're going DOC. It's not the same.
I know.
Open Championship tees off tonight. I can't wait. Last major of the year. Enjoy the golf, everybody. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We got Saturday Story coming up in a little bit. We get you set for the England-Argentina semifinal today. Let's start, though. Talk about things we've debated. This one might take the cake of the most heated debate of them all. And that starts the final hour next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.